Going to talk again about the storm, its impact, its consequences for people who are now 6 days without power and heat and internet, hundreds of thousands of them, into day six across the country. And we are being told that we can expect more extreme weather events in the years ahead because of the world's continued use of fossil fuels. But will people's experiences this time around mean that many will want to keep their open fires as a source of heat? Or are there more ways to power our homes using renewable energy? We're joined this morning by Hannah Daly, who is Professor in Sustainable Energy and Energy Systems Modelling in University College Cork. Professor Daly, you're very welcome to Morning Ireland. People who have had no power for 6 days and counting, for those who have those open fires, they can stay warm, which is vital, obviously, for their health. Can you understand why some will instinctively say, I'm keeping my fire? Those with gas cookers, they'll say, I'm keeping that cooker because it means I can cook in a power outage.
Good morning, Audrey. Thank you for having me on. First of all, I suppose it would be a real tragic irony if this extreme weather event derails our transition to clean energy. And if appropriately planned, electrifying transport and homes can actually make people more resilient to power outages. But I absolutely understand the psychological and real well-being effects of maintaining a fire in case of power outages. Now, many homes, when they're retrofitting, installing insulation, and undergoing, you know, a deep retrofit to install a heat pump, many of them will keep a fireplace or stove for that reason. And as far as I know, these stoves are very rarely lit because a home that's very well insulated actually doesn't need a stove. But there's nothing stopping homes being built to really modern energy efficiency standards, and at the same time keeping a stove and lighting it where necessary with wood, with sustainably harvested wood.
Those A-rated homes, what backups do they have when the power goes out? I take your point about the insulation. It means they will probably stay warmer for longer than those who are not A-rated and not insulated to that level. But if it goes into 6-7 days, what backups do they have?
Well, the important point is to make is that clean energy technologies that rely on electricity are really essential to move away from fossil fuels. And if they're not appropriately planned, they can make people more vulnerable to power outages. But this kind of commentary that A-rated homes are more vulnerable, I'm very concerned that it risks people turning off and not actually benefiting from the very strong, advantages that they can offer.
Well, explain how they're not vulnerable or less vulnerable.
I'll give you some examples. Firstly, many electric vehicle owners are discovering a feature that is built into many EV models. It's called vehicle to load, or V2L. And if you go to the Irish EV owners Facebook group, you'll see many examples of people who have a cable and converter and are able to power all their house's essential equipment, from the freezer and fridge to in some cases actually essential medical equipment, to the water pump and maybe a small heater. And people are reporting that they're only drawing about 10% of the car's battery every day, so it can actually take them right through a week powering the house's essential equipment. Now, it won't keep a strong heater going, but it will keep people going through the essentials, keep the freezer running and so on. The second example then is many homes are installing solar panels and batteries. And now the solar panel, the batteries are usually designed to charge from the rooftop solar, but they can also be charged from the grid. And if the appropriate switches are installed, then the system can be made to operate off the grid. So when there's a power outage, you go out and you turn a switch and then you can actually run the house from the batteries. Now, unfortunately, the government removed the battery incentive and many installers are reluctant to install the switches. There's a kind of disinformation that ESB don't allow this switch to happen, but it's actually something in the future. In 10 years' time, we could have all these, you know, one-off homes in the countryside powering their house from solar panels and from their EV when there's a power outage.
The EV, would it need to be fully charged in order to then power the home for 3 or 4 or 5 days?
Yes, you would see people, you know, before a red weather alert, and you'd have seen that on the EV Facebook groups, you know, warning people to have their car fully charged. But of course, then, if you were without power after a few days, you can drive the EV to a public charger, assuming it's working, fully charge, and then drive home. Mm. And now none of these individual measures really replace the need to make our electricity network far more resilient and robust. And we've seen how fragile our electricity distribution network is, but it can go some way to make people more resilient and during outages.
I'll get to that broader point in just a moment. But in terms of powering essential services like hospitals, like people at home, we've heard from some of them over these past few days on kidney dialysis who need those life-saving medical devices. Can renewable do that?
Yes, so these devices, if they use electricity, then they can be run from either EV batteries with the appropriate, you know, if the model is correct, or from home batteries, in the same way that they can be powered from a petrol or diesel generator. I suppose the advantage of having a home battery is that it actually saves you energy bills throughout the whole year, and it makes your electricity bill lower and cleaner as well.
So has this latest storm and the power outages which have resulted, does it bring into clear focus for you, obviously, the need for retrofitting to continue, the need to continue the rollout of the energy transition away from fossil fuels, but also how far we still, and we as a country, as a people across the country, how far we still have to go?
Yes, psychologically, there's a natural distrust of new technologies and measures, and that's understandable. And this is where it's worth getting the experience of people who have a heat pump or who have an EV or who have solar panels. Generally, the experience is very, very positive. Our reliance on fossil fuels for heating, for transport, makes us really vulnerable. You know, it makes us vulnerable to geopolitical events. It causes air pollution. Causes poor health, and it makes us poorer because our energy bills are so high and risk from the international market. Powering our energy from domestically produced renewable clean energy based on electricity and making our homes lose energy much more brings so many benefits. And it would be, as I said, a real tragic irony if people were put off going electric because of this storm. As we know, you know, climate change is turning once in a lifetime weather events into maybe once a decade events, or once a decade events into annual events. We really have to, you know, plan our energy transition in a way that makes us more resilient and communicate the benefits widely.
And do you see that commitment in the latest programme for government? The Green Party are not in government anymore. Do you see, though, the commitment in there not to slow down the investment and the rollout of the cleaner and more energy efficient homes?
There are many good policy measures mentioned in the programme for government. For example, there is a commitment to examine the role of batteries in homes, which is a very positive thing. What I would say is that the commitments are not firm. You know, that they speak at a high level about maintaining our carbon budgets and our commitment to net zero. But there's a lack of specific firm commitments to enacting policies to bring that about. And while, you know, on one hand, supporting the clean energy transition, there's also commitments to support industries that are very carbon intensive. This has been called kind of climate cakeism, having your clean energy, but also having your polluting energy.
And if you look at what's happening across the Atlantic, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, withdrawing from the Paris Accord and its targets to do with global warming and climate change, do you worry that that sends a signal perhaps to other countries, other political leaders, that they may take and that they may at the very least slow down commitments to in this area because of political considerations?
I do worry. I suppose the concern is that the US is one of the world's largest polluters. It is the world's largest oil and gas producer. It currently produces more oil and gas than any country ever has in history. And you know, its actions at home and abroad have wide-ranging implications. Now, we hopefully will be able to ride out the next 4 years without too much damage to the international processes. And at home and individual countries, I suppose, need to focus on the benefits to the country itself strategically for moving away from fossil fuels and for moving away from carbon intensive industries. It will make us more resilient and increase our well-being at home.
We just take it so much for granted, don't we, electricity?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think going back to the storm, it's shown how really deeply reliant we are on modern electricity for all of modern life, you know, for communications, for heat, for food, and for transport. And, you know, we usually have a great amount of energy abundance in Ireland, and we don't, I suppose, consider how beneficial that is. Over 600 million people in sub-Saharan Africa lack any access to electricity, which is a major impediment to their development. So at a minimum in Ireland, it's been deeply uncomfortable and disruptive for people who've been without power for days. But at its worst, it really threatens lives and livelihoods.
Thank you very much indeed. Hannah Daly, Professor in Sustainable Energy and Energy Systems Modelling in University College Cork.